Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation. With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio, with your host, your Poetic Energy herself, bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the current and the waves live at all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183. That's 1-877-218-1183.
Good evening, good evening. You're on the air with the Poetic Energy Radio Show. I am so glad to be here this evening. Tonight, I will not be, we don't have a featured guest, we don't have open mic. Tonight's show is all about educating the mind. The segment is Understanding Wealth and Tips for Us Regular Folks. So we're going to, you know, just kind of have a discussion tonight for about an hour and a half. And I'm going to bring on the air with me a personal friend of mine, another author, who's just going to share in the conversation with me on the topics that we're, you know, talking about this evening, hoping to give you something that you can positively use in your everyday life and hopefully get you on the path to financial freedom. At this time, I'm going to connect in a fellow author, a friend of mine.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here, Michelle.
Emmanuel, okay. Thank you for coming in. Like I said, we're on the air. My guest on the air with me is author Emmanuel Barbie, and he's going to sit in with me, and we're just going to have a little conversation and, you know, share with you some educational tips on understanding wealth. And I'm probably going to do all of the talking, but he will jump in as he feels need. So how are you this evening, Emmanuel?
I'm just wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. We're just going to have the conversation off with me just sharing a little bit about why I wanted to do such a show. I wanted to do this show because I've been educating myself about the mindset of the wealthy. And I think it's very important that people understand wealth. A lot of people try to obtain wealth in many quick ways. They do not understand that in order when you obtain wealth, you got to know how to spend it and manage it. So this is why, you know, one of the reasons why I just kind of wanted to do this show. A lot of people think just because we are a poetry show, that we showcase poetry, that that's what this show is going to be all about. But as I so boldly put on my page, is that the show is going to be about more than just, you know, showcasing poetry and authors, but it's going to be about you know, positively impacting the entire life experience. And I just want to share information with people, with everything that encompasses me as a person. Like I said, I've been educating myself on a lot of things about wealth. It's not that I'm seeking to be a millionaire, but why not, you know, teach yourself about the mindset of you know, the wealthy, because you never know. I'm just going to start by sharing again another reason why I decided to do the show. It's because at the age of 21, I bought my first home all by myself. And, you know, I was 21 years old, and I started investing in real estate at that time. And over the years, you know, I bought many properties on my own. I had, you know, been in the real estate industry for about 13 years. So you were kind of thinking that, you know, also in conjunction with doing real estate, I also had 9-to-5 where I was in property management. I've owned my own businesses. I've, you know, had briefly a nonprofit. With all of those things in place, with me, I've also sold Mary Kay, and I did that very well. I almost won the red car. You know, I did win a trip. But a lot of things that I do, I try to do them to the best of my ability. And sometimes I don't even try that hard, and it just, you know, it just comes out right. But to me, when I begin to evaluate the ambitions that I have and the things that I've been involved in and the income that I've generated over the years, I should be a millionaire already. And once I started reflecting on that, I said, wow, there's something along the way that I have done wrong. And I am not too ashamed to admit that, because you can have, I won't tell you, you know, how much I've made, you know, as an income in conjunction with being a property management and selling real estate, but I'll just say it's to the point that I should have been a millionaire, but I'm not. So that prompted, when I began to reflect on that, that kind of made me think, like, what have I done wrong over the years? I've had a lot of nice things, but that's all I pretty much have to show for it. You know, I had, you know, real estate that I liquidated, just things like that. And to me, a person that has acquired a lot of, that's had a lot of real estate with me, being successful in a lot of things, I should have a certain amount of, you know, a person should have a certain amount, you know, once they reach a certain age in life, especially starting off at young, because there's not too many 21-year-olds buying houses.
Correct.
You know, wouldn't you agree, Emmanuel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's another reason why I wanted to talk about this, because I think it's very important to educate yourself, and that will be my first tip, is educating yourself on the mindset of the wealthy. Wealthy, you know, there are a couple of books that I'm reading right now, but I will be doing book reviews later on, like the Five Lessons of Millionaire taught me for women. I will be doing a book review on that particular book, and, you know, giving tips out of that book on, I believe this, I have it scheduled for October 23rd. That's on a Saturday. The time should be on the show page. And I'm also listening to the audio for, it's an audio book entitled Stop Acting Rich and Start Living Like a Real Millionaire. And that's by author Thomas Stanley. But the reason why it's not that I'm seeking to be a millionaire. I just want to know what their mindset is. How do they obtain wealth and keep it? You don't have to really be a millionaire, also. It's just, I want people to be able to learn how to maintain what they have, appreciate what they have, and maintain what they have. Because some of the things that I've been reading, you will find that there are a lot of people that have a lot of things, a lot of flashy things, but they don't know how to manage their money. They don't know how to, you know, spend their money. So really they are poor, but they just have a flashy lifestyle. A person that has a minimal income can be considered as a rich person, because they know how to manage their money, and they're not living from paycheck to paycheck, because they're maintaining what they have And that's one of the things that I want to point out, is educating yourself on putting together a plan for yourself to manage what you have. So the first point would be educating yourself. If you have like a $30,000 income, and that's the income that supports the entire family. So I believe that as a person that knows they have $30,000 income coming in, that you should set your family, that you and your wife or your significant other, or if it's just you by yourself, sit down. Some of the things that I have begun to do, I found in the past that I was very good at helping other people budget their money. When I was in relationships, I had friends that said, well, I want a certain thing by the end of such and such. So I would, say, okay, let's put this plan together. I'm very good with planning. So I know that about myself. But one thing I left out was putting together a workable plan for my own finances, because I was so used to getting a certain amount of money, and, I had it to spend, so why not spend it? That was the wrong attitude. That's what I was learning, that it was the wrong attitude. So that's one thing, key thing in educating yourself. And now, when you think that a person that has a $30,000 income and lives in today's economy, wouldn't you think that would cause for you to kind of sit back and evaluate your finances a little bit closer? Because $30,000 doesn't seem like a whole lot to, especially depending on where you're living at.
Definitely, you're definitely right. And one book that I was currently reading, it was called Debt Cures, and was trying to educate the reader about trying to stay out of debt. Mm-hmm. And the economy is real rough right now, so people need to try to budget their money a little more better, so that they don't end up in debt, especially with the foreclosures that's been taking place all over the country.
Yes. You know, one of the other things is that I think a lot of people, regular folks, that's why I put that little card on there on the end of the title for regular folks, because regular folks think that because they're not millionaires that they don't have to really sit down and budget their money, or they're not wealthy because they only make $30,000. You could be wealthy and make $30,000. It is all about the way you spend it and manage it. You know what I mean?
I agree.
A person may have,
I agree.
Yeah, a person may have a $300,000 home, riding a Bentley, and on top of that, have all the flashy clothes, but behind closed doors, they sweating bullets and all, trying to figure out how they're gonna pay the mortgage, that car note. the leases, the other leases that they may have. So it's all about a mindset in obtaining wealth. A little bit part of the book that I'm sharing, The Five Lessons of a Millionaire, taught me, it talks specifically about your mind being prepared for wealth. A lot of people want wealth, but they don't understand there's a responsibility that comes with being wealthy. If you don't know how to manage money, if you have $1 million today, it could very well be gone tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's just a mindset and knowing how to manage the money that you have. One of the things that I would point out to a person, if you do have a $30,000 income, I would suggest that you sit down with yourself, take out as much time in one day that you need. Get all of the three major credit reporting places, which is Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. Those are the top three. There are a lot more of them, but those are the three major ones. And find out what is on your credit report. They have all of these sites, freecreditreport.com. where you can actually once a year pull your credit report for free. And let me say that one more time for free, freecreditreport.com. Pull your credit report and put all three of those reports side by side and look at what is on your credit report and put your plan of action into place. Okay, first figure out, okay, I make $30,000 a year. Figure out if you have a mortgage, you know, you got to figure out, write down. Because sometimes when you visually put things together, you're able to make a better assessment on what you need to do. You have to write it down. Say, you know, put it at the top of a chart, and, you know, I'll probably do a blog or something showing this, but I was going to do a blog, but I didn't want people to go to the blog and not come to the show or to the archive. So what I'm going to do, oh, I see I have another person that's going to join me on the panel, so I'm going to, at this moment, connect them in. Black Homeschoolers.
Yes.
Hello. Good evening, Black Homeschoolers. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. We have also author Emmanuel Barbie on the line. Just
hello.
Wanted to introduce you guys. We're going to, you know, continue the conversation, but where we were thus far, we were telling the listeners that how to educate yourself on to begin the educational process of understanding wealth and understanding your individual situation, financial situation, in order to put you on the right path to understanding wealth.
Okay.
One of the points that we were making is that people should begin to. I just said that we should. Pull up the three major credit reports and have people do a comparison side by side of those three credit reports so they'll know financially where they are, because, you know, they can write down, okay, I have sort of like doing a flow chart. Write down $30,000 of my income for the year. Put that at the very top so you know exactly what you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
Have your three credit reports together. And like I said, you can get them free from freecreditreport.com once a year. And begin to go down the line and do a cross comparisons of what is actually on there. And you begin, and so that you can start learning what it is that you need to tap on, you know, financially know your net worth, understand it basically. I kind of wanted to help people to understand that there are ways for you to actually have things removed from your credit report. Legally, Black Homeschooler, is there something that you can share with some of the listeners that, you know, as far as credit reports, how they could approach removing some of those things, negative things from their report legally?
Well, first I'd like to ask, how candid can I be? I'm very candid with certain topics, and I just, you know, want to get permission from the host first before I get into my answer.
Well, I feel that I want people to be real, and I know that people deal with real circumstances, so they need people to be as frank and candid as possible, because sometimes if you're not candid, people won't get it.
Okay. Well, I can just rewind a few years back. We dealt with this very issue that you're speaking of, and we kind of stumbled upon the information, and we did legally remove many items from our credit report, and it was just through simple inquiries. Many times, sometimes lenders will get lapsadaisical, and they'll not respond within the allotted amount of time, and that's how we were able to get a lot of things off of our credit report, things that were outdated. Many times lenders, they don't deal with things that are outdated, so when they don't respond, by law, reporting institutions have to remove these items. So I can remember driving our score up big time just with those things. But the part I wanted to be candid about was the whole concept of credit. I think we as a nation should look at our government and see that they are the worst bill payers out there. Our country is in debt so far that I don't think we'll ever come out of this. And so as a rule, in our household, we are trying to eliminate debt. We don't even want to deal with debt. I do think good credit is important because it is needed in some instances. They've made it now to where if you don't have good credit, you can't get certain jobs. So I do see the importance of good credit, but I think the problem is most people try to get good credit so that they can get more. And that shouldn't
right.
be the reason. The reason should right. not be so that you can get more credit, but get yourself out of that debt just for freedom of mind.
Right, absolutely. I totally agree with you because, and that's why the first tip is educating yourself. I think you are absolutely right that a lot of people want to obtain good credit so they can get more, buy more things, be more flashy, and that's not educating yourself. That's just indebting yourself even more to the point. And a lot of times people don't know that debt weighs down on you mentally. Look at how so many people. Just within this year alone, I've been hearing so many cases where people have been committing suicide or just going out of their minds because of the weight of losing their job and because they cannot deal with the fact that they can no longer pay their debt.
Right.
But if they educate themselves, and like you said, reducing their credit or gaining a better credit score to gain more, but to, in fact, eliminate that debt from their lives totally, and that will adversely affect them in a positive way, giving them a better quality of living if people learn to educate themselves and not to try to get good credit to get more.
Right.
The whole point of reducing your credit should be to not reducing your credit. The whole point of reducing your credit score should be to maintain good credit when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well,
I personally,
I'm an advocate for not getting credit. I just, because we were in it for so long, drowning in it, and we're
right.
no longer in debt, it feels free. All I can do is talk about the freedom that we feel not owing money to this one and to that one. And unfortunately, a lot of the lives that you see portrayed are just facades. One commercial that I think this was the turning point for us, I laughed at it, my husband didn't, but it was the commercial with Stanley Johnson. It's on YouTube. It was played across the country. And a lot of people get a lot of laughs out of this particular commercial, but it was a LendingTree commercial where the guy was like, my name is Stanley, and I drive a Bentley, and I live in a great neighborhood. And you see this car? You know, it's brand new. Then he says, how do I do it? I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. I can barely make my finance charges. And then he says, will somebody help me? When I saw that commercial, I said, this is the story of many Americans, that they have
yeah.
this beautiful house and they're members of the country club and have this car over here, but they go home and they're sitting down trying to sweat on how they're going to get all of this paid for at the end of the month.
Absolutely.
So to me, debt makes no sense.
Yeah, I can agree with you in that aspect. Just sharing a little bit about my personal experience, I was almost $200,000 in debt. Well, pretty much I was. But, you know, I, too, took the approach of wanting to become debt-free. So over the years, I've paid myself down to that, you know, nearly $40,000, down to $40,000. And that took a lot of sacrifice, but it was also a lot of self-reflecting involved in that too, because that showed me that I was spending because I had it, but I wasn't managing what I had, so I couldn't maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And of course, it looks great for people to see. Okay, she got a truck, she got this, you know, real estate, da 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 da. But it makes no sense to have those things when you're going to be at home worrying about how am I going to pay this, the mortgage bill, how am I going to pay the car note, the truck note, and, you know, trucks are very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And how am I going to pay the utilities? All of those things weigh very heavily on a person, And I'm just a person that really have got into really making sure that my surroundings and my life is very peaceful. But living that lifestyle with living above my means wouldn't invite a peaceful life for me, because mm-hmm. I would be constantly thinking about the debt I am in. So
right.
I had to take action, and that's one of my next, one of my other tips in it is that you have to begin to take action in your own life, do a little self-reflecting, and start saying, hey, you know, yeah, I have some money to spend, but look, you know, I'm, as fast as I'm bringing it in, it's going out like a water coming out of faucet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to come into that realization that I needed to change some things in my life.
Absolutely.
And this is one of the reasons why, you know, it's just, you have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like, you know, as a child of God, I don't want to say Christian, but as a child of God, because that's more of a relationship with the Father,
right.
that he teaches us that he will supply all of our needs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the things that we think we have to work so hard to get and, you know, flash before people, we don't have to do that, because the Bible says if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, all of these other things will be added unto you. So that we can start changing our minds. You know, I don't want, again, I think it's almost sound like I'm changing into Bible.
Yeah.
Well, I have one to interject right there if you don't mind. I have one to interject right there if you don't mind. The scripture also says that a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of things which he possess. And so, you know, we think our possessions are what make us. What can we show our neighbor? What, hey, look at me. But then you're going home, like we said earlier, that you're going home trying to figure out how to pay for all of it.
Yeah.
Is it really a blessing if debt is attached to it?
Right.
Well, may I interject for a moment?
Yeah,
sure.
Well, I just want to say that we live in a materialistic society.
Yes.
And everybody wants to be like, you know, the Joneses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm
yeah.
trying to start an organization here in the city of Chicago, where we're going to have financial counselors. We're going to try to educate low-income communities just so that way that they can budget their money more rather than being in debt and being victims of those payday loans.
Mm-hmm.
They love to, those payday loan people, they love to jack up the prices for
right.
people that's uneducated about those type of loans, and also college students are victims too,
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
of the you know, they're going on college campus, and as well as a lot of the senior citizens, they're swilling them out of their homes.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I've heard of the, are you referring to the, is it the reverse mortgage?
Yeah, I'm referring to that. But what they call it, those payday loans, because it's so fast for the people that, you know, borrow money, but they
yeah.
don't realize that they have to pay sometimes double interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
exactly.
I think that if people begin to educate, a lot of times people are in such a desperate need that they feel they just, you know, their back is up against the wall. They go to those resources when all they would have to do is, you know, sort of, you know, learn to manage what you have and live below your means. And that don't mean that you shouldn't, you know, live a quality life. I think that you can live a quality life, but just not have to, you know, spend so much money doing it, you know. For instance, a lot of people, you know, I was speaking with someone the other day about the quality of how they used to live back in the day, where they just had, it wasn't no electricity or fancy faucets and waters, and, you know, it was outhouses and wells and, you know, things of that nature. But you know what? The people back then, they lived
a lot happier,
humble, quality lives, and they were much, much happier. The family units were much, much happier. And a lot of people, you know, and I'm not talking about anybody that's overweight, because I got some pounds on me, but if you think about back in the day, you very seldom would run into an obese person, because even our way of eating was even better.
Mm-hmm.
The quality of what we ate, how we prepared our food. In fact, even they say that, you know, greens, cornbread, macaroni, cheese, all that does make people fat, but I don't agree with that, because people were eating that back in the day, and they were still skinny.
Well, unfortunately, if we don't get back to basics and soon, then we're going to see an influx of a lot of things. The food that we're eating, like you said, they call the cornbread and the greens bad, but it's not. It's not that that's doing us in. It's all the sugars, all the fast food, all the GMO foods. You know, it is those things that's ruining our bodies and giving us the extra weight. And like the other caller was speaking about the payday loans, and there is a predatory spirit that comes in, especially black neighborhoods. You don't see these types of institutions in suburbia. You see them right in our communities, and also the restaurants. All of this stuff is meant to target our people. And I think in order for us to combat this, we all need to talk about this stuff.
Absolutely.
In the community we live in, the young people are proud to go to McDonald's every day. And you try to talk sense into their heads, and they're not trying to hear it. That's where our money is going, and that's where our bad health is coming from. So it's a whole thing that we have to look at here, and black America's not talking about these things.
And I would like to add on that, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, they call it genetically modified foods. You know, like I hear about the salmon now. They're trying to feed the salmon certain types of feeds to make it grow faster and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know the long-term effects of that, you know?
Exactly.
Right.
And that's a shame. We can't really object to that, you know, but it's big business that's behind those things. But I hear that farmers' foods is supposed to be inorganic, so I like to, you know, to try to get foods from there, even though it's more expensive.
Well, one thing I'm going to say is we attempted this last year, and we hope to pick it back up next year. This season for planting is definitely gone and over, but I think we need to learn how to grow our own food again. We heard a minister say this one time, and it really hit home. One day we're going to go to Walmart or whatever store we shop at, and there's not going to be any food on the shelf to begin with. So what do we do then? A lot of people have no idea how to grow their own food.
Absolutely.
I think it's very important.
Yes, they have gotten, you know, that common practice is that nobody has a garden anymore. There used to be a time when grandmother had a garden or the family had a garden.
Now our garden is the local grocery store.
Right, exactly. So many people are into conveniences. That's what it is. America has gotten lazy, and therefore it is affecting the overall quality of life of people, because they've gotten used to the modern-day conveniences.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to educating yourself and becoming self-aware of yourself financially, all of those things what we were just speaking about plays into understanding wealth.
Mm-hmm.
People just think that wealth has to do with, you know, the abundance of money, but it's about the quality of your overall life, period.
Absolutely.
And it's just that, you know, if people should see this, just think about it. Well, there's a lot, it's a huge increase of people being depressed. And most of the time the reason why people are depressed is because why? They're dealing with life circumstance. And life circumstances usually have something to do with being overwhelmed with financial responsibilities that you don't have the money for to take care of. That's usually what the problem is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know how familiar you all are with the term being off the grid. Being off the grid is, to me, a form of financial wealth. Simply, you don't depend on the system for anything. And that's something I think we all need to be educated about. If you can eliminate bills, that's money in the bank, okay? If you don't have to pay an electric bill, that's money in the bank. If you don't have to pay gas bill and water bill, that's money in the bank. But that's a foreign concept to us. Many of us don't even desire that, but that is something I think we should all check into. If I could just tell you all this quick story about this young man, they're circulating this video on Facebook, and I think it was very inspiring. This young African boy, I forget how old he was, but he lived in a very poor village, and they didn't have any electricity. He didn't have access to the internet or anything. This young man took scrap metal and junk that he found around his little village area. After reading a book on generating electricity, he figured it out. He was able to power, he was able to power their home, their little hut. You know how they live in Africa in some areas. He was able to power their home with a self-made windmill. And for that, he's now known around the world. A lot of news coverage for this young man. A lot of reporters have been going there. People in the villages line up to see what he's done. And that's innovation at its best. This young man figured things out.
Wow, that is a phenomenal story. It does take a person being innovative, and that goes back to, again, using the resources that you have in order to make your quality of life better.
Mm-hmm.
He used something that he really didn't have, but he became
junk, garbage.
scraps and everything to create a better quality of life for himself. Thank you for sharing that, because that does coincide with what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mindset. You know, if you set yourself out to do something, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like people can have financial freedom if they just take action, become aware of what they're doing, and it'll bring about an automatic balance into your life because you're taking action in the ways and eliminating financial burden in your life, therefore eliminating depression, some depressions that you may be dealing with, heavy weights that you may be dealing with.
Well, sometimes necessity is the driving force. Most of us, we tend to wait until we're in a bind or in a snare, and then we try to figure our way out of it. I think the time to move and act on these things are now. If you look at the forecast of the direction this country is headed in, much less the world, let's look at this country. If we look at the direction this country is headed in, we need to prepare ourselves for what's coming. Instead of a lot of us are in la-la land, I hate to say it. We just think nothing's going to happen and everything's going to continue to flow and function well, but that's not the case. And I think preparation now, I think necessity should be now. Let's not wait for the storm to come. Let's prepare before it gets here.
And may I interject for a moment?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I want to say it's kind of like in the Bible story about those three or five men that were given different talents. Basically, what I got out of that, too, I think the best way to understand wealth is also you have to understand how to invest, to make a profit off of your little money. And so my organization, too, the organization that I'm trying to and that's what I also talk about, too, in my new book, that you should try we're going to try to teach our clients about, becoming entrepreneurs, in the African-American community.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, that could help, alleviate a lot of the poverty, and that could, also bring up those conditions that they face in those communities.
Mm-hmm.
And that help our country as a whole, too, because I'm trying to get – that's how come I wrote the book, because I want to recruit people all over the country to work with me so I can go to different cities and replicate the same organization.
Right.
Yeah, the book that you have, the manual of the, is it The Solution for Black America, Reclaiming, Rebuilding, and Restoring. Those three things are just powerful words alone. I haven't had the opportunity to read the book, but I will. Emmanuel is actually going to be a guest on our show on the 20th, I believe. And
correct.
He's going to have a great opportunity to really expound on the book, because I think that it's very important to have information for the African-American community to understand about reclaiming, rebuilding, and restoring.
Mm-hmm.
And those all take part in helping us to understand obtaining wealth. You know, not to the millionaire status, but wealth can be just a person having $30,000. I'm sticking on this $30,000, but having $30,000 and managing it very well without being burdened or trodden down deep despair because they can't manage that particular income that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just going to be a great book to read, you know, because it addresses the issues with the black community. But although our shows are meant to impact everybody of any nationality, you know, I must add that. While we've been having a great conversation, a lot of great information has been coming. I know that people are going to listen to the show in the archives, and this is what we want to happen, so people can start understanding, taking action in their own lives, dealing with their financial situations, confronting it, and doing something about it, putting a plan of action in place. You know, again, getting back to that plan of action is, you know, you got to kind of really confront it head on in order to get it straightened out. We were speaking earlier, black homeschoolers were just saying that they have eliminated debt from their lives, and you have to take steps in doing that. I've done that also, in a sense, to begun to release the debt in my life. And every time you begin to get rid of a piece of debt in your life, it just seems like as if the atmosphere shifts, and you begin to feel a weight just lift off. You're like, okay, well, this weight is lifted off. And it's just a wonderful feeling not to owe anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So as quick as people can understand that, educating themselves on, or, you know, learning and teaching themselves how to get the mindset of, you know, not wanting to be in debt, not wanting to be flashy, not wanting to keep up with the Joneses, and just living essentially below their means, just so they can have a better quality of life. Because a great quality of life doesn't mean that you have an abundance of things. It just means that you have quality things that that helps, you know, helps you as an individual to function properly or in a peaceful manner in your own life.
Well, that's the part that has to be sold to people. It's hard to sell
yes.
that to people, because we are a materialistic society, like
yes.
the other caller said earlier. And to try to sell them on living minimalistic just to have a peace of mind, that part is very difficult. I see people on a fixed income struggling from day to day to pay their bills, but that hair is done, the nails are done. You know, all of that is taken care of. They handle in all
yes.
of that, but the kid's sitting up in the dark. And so
right.
it's kind of hard to sell our people on living minimalistic just for peace of mind.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I so agree with you on that. It is definitely a challenge. And I do agree that there are probably going to people, no matter how much information you put out there, you're not going to reach them, because a person has to be willing to listen and to change their circumstances, even if it's not for divine, just change for, you know, for the purpose of being politically correct in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people will, they're just not going to listen. So basically what we have to do is keep on moving and you know, educate those people who are willing to make a change in their own lives. You know what I mean?
Well, I like to be proactive in trying to convince people of things for this one reason. This point was brought out when all the stuff hits the fan, and it is, okay, in this country, this stuff will hit the fan someday, okay? Who are these people who didn't plan ahead going to come after? They're going to say, well, they're going to say, this one over here got something that I need, and I'm going to take it. And so I really like to push it on people as much as I can. If someone comes and sit in my house, they're going to get a conversation about how things are going to be and how they need to prepare for it.
Right. When you said that they are going to get in conversation, because otherwise people, you know, I mean, they can either take it or leave it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to kind of say that financial security cannot be just reduced to a simple formula. So we're not trying to say that there's one set formula or approach to understanding wealth. It's just there are some, you know, basic things that you need to do in order to move forward. With
some of those basic things being what?
educating yourself, being aware of your own true financial standing, what your net worth is, who do you owe, and how can you not owe them anymore? How can you eliminate that debt? Those are some of the things that you need to take action first on into. You know, have a willingness to educate yourself. And I don't mean go out and buy expensive books, but you know what I'm doing? All the material that I'm reading and audio books that I'm learning, I'm taking time out to go to the library. I have a very active library card, okay, people?
Mm-hmm.
I want everybody to hear that. I have a very active library card. Use the library, people. You know, so many people are not, especially in the African-American community, we don't use the library. That's an open, free resource for us. We talk
about how
we want to find grant money, and you know, we're going to have a show on that one day, too, but we want to find grant money, and we complain when other people are getting it. But you know what those other people are doing? They go on to the library. I'm following pursuit after those people have set in their mind that I have a certain mindset about the wealth, and so I'm going to educate myself just like they're doing, but they're going to do it with, you know, obtaining free resources so they can get the big prize in the end. That's what they're doing.
Well, one term that I thought I was the creator of, and I found out someone else has already coined this term, but Googleable. Information is Googleable. You can get on the internet instead of wasting our time on social networks. The information is out there. I mean, just through Googling information, we figured out how to hide our assets.
Yes.
And that's one thing that Black folk don't talk about and they don't know how to do. But we studied, we researched, we found the stuff out, and therefore our assets are hidden. And I think that's a very, very important topic. How do you hide your assets? How do you own your house? How should you own your house?
All right, and you know what? Since you brought it up, we're going to have you on the show one day and do another educational segment because I think that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
You've already done the research. We will definitely have you on the show.
Well, I would certainly like to share that with my people. I must say, as you know, my name is Black Homeschoolers. That's our organization, so you know what my target market is. I make no secret of that. You know, I get a lot of flack from people about it. I know the show is not a Black show, and I completely understand that, but my heart and my target is the African-American community. I want to help my people, and that's nothing against other cultures.
And
hats off to you.
Yeah, if you don't mind, just say that again, please. What's the name of your organization?
Black Homeschoolers.
Black Homeschoolers, okay.
Mm-hmm. Our goal is to help our people, to educate our children. There's enough being done for other cultures, and our kids are left in the dark. They don't know their history. There's just so many things that I think our people need to know, and therefore that's my market. So I would love to come on the show again and talk about hiding assets and things of that nature. It's very important that we learn to do this.
Absolutely. I so agree with you. that we even the scriptures just plainly say that God's people perish because of lack of knowledge, and I think mm-hmm. that applies to life in general.
Mm-hmm.
We perish because perish doesn't mean that you have to die. It just means that you are dying a slow death.
We lag behind.
Yeah, you lag behind because you do not know what to do if this circumstance comes up in your life. You don't know what plan of action to take. So educating yourself is so important. And, again, I just want to kind of say to the listeners that will come in the archives to listen is the beginning step of understanding wealth. It's educating yourself and becoming self-aware of your real financial standing. Because it will help you have a better quality of life if you confront the circumstances in your life, confront the things that you're dealing with. A lot of people don't think that their bills and all that have anything to do with them being depressed or downtrodden, but that's the main reason.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people just don't equate those things as being something that is colliding with each situation. They don't think that has a bearing on anything, but it really does. If you seek out a better quality of life, and like you said earlier, not very many people are going to be sold on, okay, if you do this, you'll have a better quality of thinking, better of mind. There are certain approaches that you want to have to use with each individual person. And the light is not going to come on at the same time for everyone. Only thing that we can do as individuals who want to educate people is to share with them information, and when they get it, they get it. And if
mm-hmm.
they don't, that's something that they have to deal with it in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
But I totally agree that a lot of people will not get the message, will not receive, but you got to keep on moving because there are people who are looking for solutions to having a better quality of life and understanding wealth, and I really don't want to just advocate wealth by just money, but
mm-hmm.
wealth as far as a better quality of life. Period.
I believe wealth begins with education, and the problem is our educational system in this country is set up for failure. And it's not just for the failure of the black race, the black community. It's this whole country. We've been dumbed down to a point of no return, it seems. But the brunt of it is against our people. Our children, they are not prepared for anything. By the time they get out of high school, I hate to say it, but this is not my statement. I'm using a statement someone else made, that the longer you stay in public school, the dumber you get. And I'm seeing that in our communities, and it's not that they're dumb to the point of not having basic common sense, but the school system has interjected so much nonsense that our kids, it's really hard for them to prepare for life because the system that was put in place to help them prepare was actually put in place for them to be dumbed down.
Yes. I've heard that term as well.
May I interject on that, please?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I want to say that's one of the things I talk about in my book as well. I try to do a comparison with, the public schools versus the private affluent schools. And they are the ones that have, the best resources because of the property values and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids at public schools are totally at a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you're if you're not going to educate our children, it's not going to be the same playing field, once they get out
right.
and graduate from high school, they're not prepared to go on to college, and some of them end up dropping out of high school and end up, selling drugs to try to make wealth, through the black market.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's how come I'm really trying. I'm ashamed to really say this on your show, but I just wanted to, be honest and truthful here. I don't have any black organizations at all working with me in Chicago. So my higher power, you know, encouraged me to just go ahead and share my story, no matter how painful it is, but try to share my story, and hopefully, you know, I can recruit the right people to come here to help me get my organization up and running.
Mm-hmm. And I feel you there. I feel you. It's really difficult to get black people to work together. I've developed a lot of different information as well, and I have lots of friends online, Facebook, and other organizations, even our own website, Black Homeschoolers. And so many people we talk to, we're all on the same page. We want to see change. We want to do things, but that when it's actually time to come together and put this plan into action, that's where we fall short. And that I don't know. I don't understand why that happens. Why do we fall short there?
I know why. I know why.
Ahead.
I believe the reason is why is because it's all about competition. You know,
yes.
Those people
yes.
that's already established,
mm-hmm.
they don't want to, you know, they feel threatened, because when I used to go out to my community centers and, you know, used to tell them about my vision and things like that, since I wasn't really established, they didn't ask me to come back to do any more speaking.
Mm-hmm. And I 100% agree with you. What is the problem? I don't understand that type of thinking. I see that even if you have an organization, I have an organization, this one has one, I don't see why the organizations can't work together. It doesn't have to be you're bigger than I, you're more established than I. It doesn't have to be about any of that. We all bring something different to the table. We're all in different areas, so we can affect the areas that we're in. And
right.
I've talked to so many different people in different areas, and we get so excited. We're on the phone, and we're like, hey, let's do this. And I'm very sincere. When I want to work with someone, I will do that. We've offered – my husband does video commercials, book trailers, things of that nature, and we've offered so many people just free work just to work together. Okay, hey, we will do a commercial for you, just do this, and we can work together on this project or that project. And usually they just fall off right there as if we're offering them strychnine or something. It's like I'm not asking for one dime. I'm saying, hey, let's work together. We got some black babies out here that need us to be strong. They need
right.
us to stand up for them.
Right.
And it's like we cower in our own little worlds. Well, if I'm not going to get the higher platform, then I don't want to work with you. I can care less if anyone knows who I am. As
right.
long as someone gets help to our black babies, to our black communities. That's all I care about.
I want to say I do something a little similar, too. I've been creating online groups, I would say, for 19 years. I'm on 300 different social networks, and my
mm-hmm.
whole goal was trying to get the people that I network with on one common site, like neither Yahoo groups or on my Google groups, and I had a hard time doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I help people find grants and scholarships for college, private business grants, and housing. I help people find employment. And I do all
mm-hmm.
those things for free, that people that network with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
my way of trying
yeah.
to give back.
Yes, and that's definitely a help. And I agree with you. We need one place. And the only thing I'm going to say that I would do different, you mentioned Yahoo groups and Google groups. I love to support black websites that do these types of things. Someone told me on Facebook, they said, black homeschoolers, be careful what you say because they are listening and they are watching. And so I kind of like having our own site, not that they can't listen and watch there, but if you have a member site that is solely yours, it's easier to keep track of who's there.
All right, I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely okay to have something that is geared towards educating your race of people. But we will say again, you know, just for the listeners, that this is a show that is for all people, And everybody has their opinion, and I do think that it is necessary because of the events that have happened in our country over the years, that it is necessary for the organizations and groups to form organizations that cater to a certain class or a group of people, because sometimes the resources are not always readily available to everyone and every time. So you have to have a place, a common place of resourcefulness that you can come and you know, get on your own to become educated. So I do agree that that it is necessary for organizations to have organizations that cater to their class of people.
I would like to say to the host, I apologize for overly speaking of the black community. I apologize for that. I have to remember this is your show, and you have made that clear that this is for your show is for everyone. It's not just for African Americans, but I tend to get out of hand sometimes when I'm talking about my people, so I apologize for that. As I said, my name is
No need to apologize, because I understand your platform, and of course, I understand where you're coming from. If you have a platform that you work with, so this is what you do. So it's okay for you to let the listeners know what you're doing and what you advocate, because that is your freedom of speech and your privilege to do. So no need for any apologies, but, you know.
We don't exclude anyone either. We don't
yeah.
exclude anyone either. We have members of our site that are other cultures as well. We just, the only reason we did black homeschoolers is so that we can find each other.
Right.
We have problems with being excluded from other groups, and literally this happens where we are not welcome.
Yeah.
So then we have to find each other because we're few and far between.
Yes,
absolutely. I totally agree with that. And I know that you have to have places where you can go to be more resources for you to find out the truth of the matter about things. Sometimes, if you go into another segment of cultural things, that you can't always learn what you're seeking for. You know what I'm saying? Without going to the source, I'll just say it that way. So sometimes it is just necessary to do those things. And it's not, because it's advocating, against other races of people or classes of people, but it's just something that's necessary.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make a mark. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah, my organization is open to all communities, because it's about us trying to build up our country.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
You know, I have to give back to the community that I came from. So
right.
Absolutely.
How come my focus is on, the inner city ghettos?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
I welcome donations and all that stuff from other people, too.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I just want us to all pull our resources together. That's what I want to do. That's my goal.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I so agree with us. I mean, because every race of people, every class of people, a lot of us are just regular folks, and what I mean by regular folks is that, the society put us in classes based on our status and income, so therefore we are put in classes of people. So when I say folks, I ain't sitting with around $3.5 million in my bank account yet.
That's a nice round number. I can get used to that number.
I was hoping that I would get a little chuckle from that. I never want to put out nothing in the universe, because, you never know what God has in store.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of these types of, I feel like that when you're compelled to do something or talk on certain things, that God always prepare us for things for the next step in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like preparing yourself on how, because he wants his people to have wealth. Not everyone out there that has wealth is doing wrong with wealth. God's people have to have some wealth, too, because he got some missions or some things he wants us to do. But a lot of other folks don't know that once we get this money, he ain't mean not going out, you know, buy 10 houses, 20 cars, and forget about the work he wants us to do. You know, a lot of people get wealth and they forget about God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That, you know, they're not helping the hungry. You know, they're not giving back to their community. And so I think that's another part about understanding wealth, is understanding once you get wealth, know who it comes from. It's not, you know, yes, God may put it in you, give you breath and life, and, you know, you get up and you do whatever it is it takes to get that wealth. But you got to know that strength and that ability comes from up above. And
mm-hmm.
You ain't just do it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't come to earth with, okay, I'm going to, you know, buy me about 20 houses, I'm going to be a multi-million, have $3.5 million, and God ain't had nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not so.
Well,
he can also take it all away from you, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's what I mean. You know, you got to really understand wealth, because just as fast as you can get it, it can be gone the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But I ain't going to get into talking about Job. That's a whole new other story and a whole new different concept of why wealth was taken and given back to him. But, you know, that's a whole new story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I keep trying to get into preaching. But another thing that I just wanted to kind of, reiterate again is just people educating themselves, becoming self-aware of their financial standing, by, taking a very close look at your credit work, your credit standing, putting before you the amount of income that you make, the amount of bills that you have to pay out each month. Getting a handle of all of that will kind of help you put you in focus of understanding the mindset of the wealthy people. Wealthy people, one thing I want to say about wealthy people, they are very frugal people. People think that wealthy people are people who have a lot of material things. But
well, some of them are.
Yes, some of them are, but I was going to say that. But it's the way that they manage and maintain their money is what makes them wealthy. I,
mm-hmm.
You know, one of the excerpts in one of the collections that I'm listening to, Stop Acting Rich and Live Like a Real Millionaire, one of the things in the audio, it does say that a lot of people who are flashy and flamboyant with their spending, they are not generally wealthy people. They
so
are
those
people
that
with
I can
money.
Go ahead.
They are
I'm
people
sorry.
With money who don't know how to spend it, and it's fastly, quickly, you know, sifting from their hands. If you think about it, a lot of celebrities, why are so many celebrities having this, you know, coming down to you know, regular jobs? You know what I'm saying? They have to get security jobs, and you know what I mean? It's because they themselves, they have obtained wealth but don't know how to manage it.
Well, personally, I think wealth is true wealthy people are those who worked hard for it. I don't consider someone who was born into it, or someone who hit the lottery or something like that, to be really truly wealthy, because it wasn't skill or knowledge that got them there. But when I look at the C.J. Walkers, Madam C.J. Walkers of the world, it was her wealth of knowledge that got her financially wealthy as well. And notice once her daughter took over, or one of her relatives took over, that's when things kind of went backwards, because it wasn't in her the way it was in her mom. So I think wealth is a mental thing, too, because in the wrong hands is not wealth at all. It's actually going to be depleted.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I so agree with you. That's one of my bullet points here, is working hard. And it is a mental a state of mind of dealing with wealth, because a lot of people, like you said, for instance, the lottery people,
mm-hmm.
none of them are wealthy people. They may have the dollar amount. They may have $3.5 million in their bank account. They may win that winning, but nine times in less than 5 years, and sometimes even sooner, they lose every dime and go back
mm-hmm.
to their humble beginnings. because they're not wealthy people. They don't have the mindset of wealthy people. They are people who
Were lucky people. That's it.
Exactly. They lived simple lives, and once they obtained all this money, they didn't know how to manage it or handle it, and therefore their mindset, their mental focus was on, okay, I have this money to spend, and I don't have to worry about a dime anymore. But that's not true, because once you obtain that wealth, you have to know how to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't say, well, I'm gonna have $3.5 million and I don't have to worry about money anymore. Now you have to worry about Uncle Sam. You're in a higher income bracket, and you have to know, how much you're spending out, of course, because you're gonna buy nice things because that's what most people always wanted. Well, I want a bigger house. Well, I want another car. But then you're gonna have people coming out the woodwork who you never even knew thought you knew. So it's going to be different things that you're going to have to use your wealth for.
Can I tell you a quick story about another wealthy person that we knew who only made $20,000 a year? This was he was wealthy, making $20,000
a year. We have 19 more minutes in the show. I just want to say that we have 19 more minutes in the show, and
okay.
I do want to make some quick announcements before you go into the story.
Okay.
On October the 13th, we will be having author Nicole Brown coming on to the show, Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On October 14th, we will also continue our open mic. My co-host, DBG, will be regulating that. On October 17th, again, we will have our morning inspiration candid conversations with none other than myself, Poetic Energy. And then again, on October 20th, we will be having author Emmanuel Barber on the show talking about his new book, The Solution for Black America, Reclaiming, Rebuilding, and Restoring the Urban Ghettos in America. Those are, who happens to be on the air with us this evening, just having hanging out with us, discussing understanding wealth and tips for us regular folks. So we're glad to have him here. We're glad to have homeschoolers here. This is just a show that we will touch on everything. We want to impact the total life experience. So we will be having shows that we will be talking about many things, and hopefully it will be something that could very well help you in your everyday life. If anyone ever wants to call in for a question and answers, you're always welcome to call 917-932-8081. You've been listening to the Poetic Energy Radio Show with myself, Poetic Energy, with Black Homeschoolers, and author Emmanuel Barber. We have 17 minutes left in the show, and so we're going to have Black Homeschoolers share with us the story that she wished to share. Black Homeschoolers, go ahead.
It's very quick. This young man, $20,000 a year, owned his home, off the water, had a boat, all on $20,000 a year, because he chose to live a simple life as it relates to other material things. He took the home that I think it was a family home, and he didn't mortgage it. It was a nice home, very minimal income, but he was able to live the way most of us dream. And I consider that young man to be wealthy because he made a conscious decision not to mortgage this house where he probably could have gotten a mortgage for $100,000 or more just to have money in his pocket, but he didn't choose to do that. And that's why I consider him to be wealthy. He was smart. He played his cards right.
Oh, yes. I am so glad you shared that story with us because earlier I had said that let me read one of the notes that I have. An individual with high income who has poor daily habits will fail to find financial security, but a person with relatively low income can achieve financial freedom through the power of good habits.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the habits of wealth?
Mm-hmm.
Being able to maintain what you have and work with what you have and living within your means or below your means, not meaning that you should reduce yourself to a lesser quality of life, But you can have a quality, more quality, you know, have a quality life just living the simple life.
Mm-hmm.
So Black Homeschooler, I am so glad you shared that that story with us, because you are so correct that a person that has an income of that, you know, of that size can really be considered a wealthy person. In
mm-hmm.
some people's eyes, they may not consider him wealthy because people have been brainwashed to believe that wealthy people are a certain type of people or have a certain amount of money in their bank account.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you that young man making $20,000 a year can probably go to a fancy restaurant and at any given time and go toe-to-toe with somebody that has has $3.5 million in their bank account and dwindling down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they don't realize it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Some people have that kind of money and don't know that it's quickly sifting. And it's like they wake up one day and all they got is like $5,000 in their bank account.
Well, I think this young man made a conscious decision not to go to restaurants, and this is probably why he's able to afford.
I was using that as an example because a lot of rich, well-off people
right.
go to fancy restaurants, you know. But I'm so glad you shared that story because that helped me to bring out one of the points that I did have,
mm-hmm.
is that using what you have, working with the income that you have. Getting into focus, your true financial standing and then working with that income helps you to, you're putting yourself in the mindset set of understanding what wealth really is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel like you need to have a higher figure within your bank account, then you're going to have to take more actions to understanding the frugal mind of a person that has that kind of money and who's maintaining it well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's by educating yourself and confronting your debt head on
mm-hmm.
and getting rid of it, not to get more credit, but to keep yourself from having to even go the credit route, period.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you absolutely need to. Like you said earlier, it shouldn't be, credit shouldn't be a way of living for you. It should be something that just has to happen. Not to
credit
the point
is a trap.
It's
a trap.
It really is. I kind of agree with you on that because so many people say, well, I can just put it on my credit card, but they're not thinking, okay, you spent $30 for something at the store, and by the time you get to paying the interest rate, and you're paying that $30 five times over, that $30 turns into $250.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the constant interest on it, especially because most people will not pay the balance completely off. They pay the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, like you said, it is a trap. It's a way for these companies to continue to, get money in their bank accounts,
Yeah.
And people don't realize. It goes back to the conveniences of life. People like the conveniences. And back in the day, credit was credit, and people, it wasn't about compounding all of this interest on somebody owing $30. If you owe $30, you paid your debt.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Bible says that the debtor is a servant to the lender, so that's why we feel
yes.
such bondage. When you have all this debt over your head, you feel like you're in bondage because you're getting the phone calls, you're getting the threatening letters, so that debt tends to suck you in and consume you. And that's why we're so happy to be free from it. If I were to tell anyone anything, I would say to our young people, don't even get into debt. Don't even entertain the thought. Pay for it. Keep your credit intact for a good job, but don't consume your life with credit. Don't let
yes,
your life
absolutely.
Be consumed with it.
Since you brought that point up again about the good credit, there are a lot of companies, like you said, based in their decision to hire or not to hire a person based on their credit.
And I don't think
that's
fair.
Crazy.
What does
yeah,
it have to do with
fair.
Anything? that has nothing to do with job
exactly.
performance. I think that was another trap against our people. I'm just keeping
Amen.
It real.
I agree.
Pardon me?
I say I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But not just, I don't think it's just our people alone, but I would say any person that's...
A minority.
Not just a minority. It could be poor whites, too. Anybody
mm-hmm.
that I would say poor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Under the the poverty level, you know,
mm-hmm.
it affects all
right.
of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
I so agree with that because I think your educational center, a lot of people who were very wealthy, who lost their jobs, you know, the economy is just so crazy right now in that people are in financial binds and basing their credit score on their ability to do a job.
It's ludicrous. It's ludicrous.
I think that a person should not be not considered for a job because they have a bad credit score.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that a person should just kind of, if they are going to consider that, they should at least look at the overall history of their credit. So some people started off with good credit.
Or ask what happened. Something could have happened to bring them to that point of bad credit. It's not that someone is just immoral or anything like that. It could be just a simple problem that they came across, loss of a job, sickness, anything. So
exactly. Yeah, I suppose that's going to be another show one of these days.
mm-hmm.
But I have been so enjoying hanging out with black homeschoolers and author Emmanuel Barbie, which will be on our show on October 20th. I'm just really, I think we're going to have another part to this because it is so much more that I want to touch on about people understanding wealth. Because the first part of just educating yourself, I think that needs to be kind of delved into more. And like I said, I will probably be attaching blogs and vlogs with these so people can kind of get a visual. I wanted to kind of start them on the radio show, but I know sometimes some people are visual, so they got to physically be able to see a concept in order to understand it. So we will try to get into that a little bit more. But I think these segments are very important because it starts with educating yourself on the proper steps to take. And it's not one set way to do things, but it's just we're offering suggestions and possible solutions. And sometimes it just takes you just getting a tad bit of information to move forward with the steps that you need to move forward toward to understanding how you can live a better quality of life, understand how you can obtain wealth or maintain what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just been wonderful hanging out with you guys. We have 7 more minutes left into the show, and we're going to kind of just we can kind of address the did anyone of you guys have anything more that you wanted to add to the list of things? We went over educating yourself, being self-aware, working hard. We kind of touched on the modest living below or within your means, because I think author Emmanuel kind of brought up earlier that, you know, people trying to keep up with the Joneses. That's cliche and has been out for a long time. People do try to keep up with the Joneses. And they affect their own lives trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know the Joneses might be suffering.
mm-hmm.
You should be your own person, your own individual. You know. I do want to let me just read quickly this little note that I had. Modest living. A just and reasonable modesty does not only recommend eloquence, but sets off every great talent which a man can be possessed of. And that's a quote by Joseph Addison. A just and reasonable modesty does not only recommend eloquence. Reasonable modesty. Really, modesty and reasonable is just kind of saying the same thing, what we were saying earlier about modest living back in the day. They lived a very modest lifestyle, very simple lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And they used what they had, the talents they had, you know, like you said earlier about, growing your own crop and having your own garden and things of that nature. Those were more beautiful times, I should say. I wasn't back there then, but just to hear the stories of that, it makes you want to take hold of a lifestyle like that. You know, you can still have nice things, but your life is so much, relaxing, so much comfortable, so much rewarding if you, understand, how to keep a quality of life, have the things that you want, but within your own means. That's just so important,
mm-hmm.
having all these conveniences, not being lazy, because a lot of things make people so lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing that keeps you from understanding wealth, because you become lazy, not wanting to use any talent that, but I think my manual said something about the men with the talents. Some buried their talents and they didn't do anything with them. I can only imagine bringing that story up to today's time, that people have their talents because they become lazy.
Mm-hmm.
They become, adjusted to convenient lifestyles, and they don't want to do anything. They don't want to work to, have better qualities of life or to get, understanding wealth. They want it to come easy to them. They want to go out, play a lottery, put down $1, play a lottery, and hit big.
Mm-hmm.
That's how most people want to do it. Nobody wants to work hard. Nobody wants to use the God-given talent that,
I don't mind
gifted.
The head start or the jump. Somebody can lay that kind of money on me, and I'll still work hard. I don't mind the push at all.
Yeah, but the point I was trying to make, the most of the mentality of the people,
mm-hmm.
they want somebody just to give it to them, and that's not, like you said, that's not real wealth.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a person with a lot of money, and who may prove that he can or cannot handle it, a few months down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, this is definitely, I'm probably going to have a part two, because I want to get more into the helping people to strategically plan, put a plan together on how they can, do a flow chart of their own financial situation. I will say, just a little disclaimer that we are not financial advisors. We are just individuals just speaking of personal experiences, personal observations, and we want to share just information that we're learning. Like I said, I've been educating myself by reading books and listening to audio that I've gotten out of the library, not purchased, because that's another burden of trying to pay $20 and $30 for books and things of that nature that you may or may not read. I am a reader, an avid reader, so, it wouldn't bother me, but I do know not to pay for that. It's like 10 libraries around in my radius.
If you can get it free, why not?
Well, no, exactly. So that's another point, that I will bring out in the next segment, that learn about, take the time to go to the spirit or Google it, like the Black Homeschooler said earlier, because there is a lot of resourceful information out there. We can have better quality of life. We can get a better handle on our finances, but we have to educate ourselves. We have to make ourselves self-aware of our true standing in life. If you really want to put a plan of action in, you need to put that plan of action together. And begin, just not just helping yourself find out about finances, but, finding out about your health, you will find that you will begin to change your health as well, too, when you start eliminating negativity and burdens in your own life. So we're about to be ending the show. It was great hanging out with Black Homeschoolers.
Oh, thanks for having us.
And Emmanuel Barber. Well, such a pleasure having you guys on the show. I so appreciate you hanging out with your energy today. We had such a great conversation. I do hope we can do this again. And I would like to say to all our listeners, thank you. Thank you for so much for hanging out with us. We do hope you catch us in the archives, because we do have a lot of more information that we want to share with you. Thank you. God bless you. And you all have a great evening.
Okay, then.